For Parshas Baaloscha, we have five Divrei Torah. We are going to start all the way at the beginning of the Parsha. Second Pasuk, Parakhes, Pasuk Beis, Baaloscha, Seneiros, Aaron HaKohen, when you light, when you kindle the lamps in the menorah. And Rashi addresses the following question. Why do we talk right now about the kindling of the menorah right after the end of last week's Parsha, which talked about the Nisim of each of the Shvatim, the 12 Nisim, bringing their korbanos at the inauguration of the Mishkan? What is the connection between the two, that we're going from the inauguration, the Nisim, each one, all 12 of them, bringing their korbanos, to talking about Aharon kindling the lamps in the menorah in the Mishkan? And it's as follows. Rashi explains that Aharon was feeling bad. He says, I'm not involved in the Mishkan, in the inauguration. All the Nisim are being able to participate. They're bringing their korbanos, and I'm bringing nothing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Aaron, don't feel bad, chayecha. Shalcha gedola mishalahem. Your portion is greater than theirs. Sha'ata madli kumeiti vesaneros, because you are going to be kindling the lights of the menorah. And the question is, why is this a greater thing? That Aaron is having a consolation here, that you're going to be lighting the menorah, that's greater than they're bringing their korbanos on the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. And the Medrash Rabbah explains as follows, HaKorbanos kolzman shebeis hamikdash kayam hayu nohagim. When it comes to the korbanos that the Nisim brought, that would exist the entire time that we have a Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. But when the Beis HaMishkan unfortunately was destroyed, we no longer have the Korbanos. However, Aval HaNeiros LaOlam Kayami, when it comes to the Neiros of the menorah, they will always be around. And the obvious question for this is, that doesn't seem to be true. We understand the Korbanos go away when the Beis HaMikdash was unfortunately destroyed, but that the candles of the menorah will continue. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no lighting of the candles of the menorah. So that apparently went away as well. So the Ramban answers as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising to Aharon that by way of his descendants, the Chashmonaim, at the time of the miracle of Hanukkah, that indeed the inauguration, the second time of the Beis HaMikdash, that they came in, they cleaned out the impurities that were left over. We have a new inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, and here we have the lighting of the menorah based on the Nes Pach Hashem. In 8 days it lit. There was only one flask of oil, and it lit for 8 days. And here we have Chazal instituting the mitzvah, not only when we have the Beis HaMikdash, but for all future generations, the lighting of which menorah? The menorah on Hanukkah. And that indeed is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Aaron. Aaron, don't worry, your part is greater than theirs. Aval haneiros la'olam kayamim. The korbanos will go away, but the lighting of the menorah during Hanukkah will continue for all future generations. And indeed, that is what gave Aharon solace to know that he had a tremendous chelik, even a greater chelik than bringing of the korbanos, because it would continue for all future generations, even when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Now we're moving on to number two. We're in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yutes, an amazing pasuk, a very interesting pasuk. If we look inside, it says, Ve'etna es ha-levim, what's going on here is the consecration of the levim. Originally, it was supposed to be the firstborn that would be doing the avod in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Levim replaced them. And here we have the consecration of the Levim. Then the pasuk says as follows: Ve'esna es ha-Levim nisunim la'aron uvenah b'tach b'nei Yisrael. I'm going to give you the Levim. They will be given over to Aaron. They will assist in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, from b'nei Yisrael. So they're being taken out of being part of b'nei Yisrael, the general b'nei Yisrael, because now they are being sanctified to be the special Levim to do the avodah in the Mishkan. La'avodes avodas b'nei Yisrael b'ohel moed. They're going to do the avoda of Klal Yisrael in the ohel moed. Ulechaper al b'nei Yisrael. And it will act as a kapara for b'nei Yisrael. V'lo yabiv b'nei Yisrael negif. And accordingly, there will not be a plague for b'nei Yisrael. Begeshes b'nei Yisrael al kodesh. Because if b'nei Yisrael would do the avoda, they would be punished. What comes out very strongly in this pasuk that we just read is it says a phrase five times. B'nei Yisrael, I will give the Levim in place of B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael. Five times it says B'nei Yisrael. Why? So Rashi explains as follows. It says, B'nei Yisrael, in this pasuk, five times, to show the chiba that they are so fond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were repeated five times, just like the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, just like their five Chumashim, showed to, it says, B'nei Yisrael five times. The Chidushei Harim says, what's the connection? And why specifically here, when we're talking about the consecration of the Levim in place of the firstborn, does it have to say B'nai Yisrael five times to show how fond B'nai Yisrael is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he explains as follows beautifully. Right now, when we are choosing the Levim in place of the firstborn of throughout Klal Yisrael, what could very well be is that Klal Yisrael is going to feel neglected. They are going to feel rejected. They're being replaced by Levim. They don't have the opportunity to worship in the Beis HaMikdash. Since three Levim are replacing them. And accordingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says right now, when they would be inclined to feel rejected, Klal Yisrael, don't worry. You are unbelievably fond in my eyes. I have tremendous love of Klal Yisrael, just like the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. What's the connection? The Chamisha Chumshei Torah, each of the Chumashim is separate. But you need each of them in order to make up the Chumash. If you're missing any one of them, you don't have a Chumash. Each one is required. So too, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, you're just like the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, each and every type of Jew. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, each of you is critical in order to make up the Am Segula of Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Chidush HaYarim explains why it has to be specifically here in the inauguration, the consecration of the Levim in place of the firstborn. Right now, when Klal Yisrael would feel neglected and rejected, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, five times. Klal Yisrael, you have to know you're just like the Chumash. The Chumash, each of the Chumashim is necessary for the Torah. So too, Kohanim and Levim are necessary, and so too are Yisraelim, because together you make up the Klal Yisrael. We are now moving forward to Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. And here, and this comes out in a number of places in this parsha, and these parshas that we're dealing with right now, is this dissatisfaction of Klal Yisrael. Here it's focused on food. Oftentimes it's focused on food and other issues. But here we want meat. We want meat. The man was not to the satisfaction of Klal Yisrael. They were indeed dissatisfied. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want meat? You're going to get meat. And the quail was sent, the slav, and so much of it. And those who were desirous, they had this taiva, the craving for the meat, they ate a tremendous amount, and it turned into a plague. It was terrible for them. It was the meat was still between their teeth. Bein shinehem, odenu. It was still between their teeth, and now a plague comes, and they were killed because of this lust for the meat and the complaints and the criticism that they had. And it says in our pasuk, this is word number three in Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk lamedalad vayikra eshem hamakom kivros hatava. That place that there was a plague, that a number of Klal Yisrael died as a punishment. It was called the burial of the taiva. Burial of the craving, burial of their physical desire, kisham kavru es ha'am ha'misavim, because there was buried the am who were craving. And the question is as follows, asked the Binas Le'itim, why is this called kivras ha'taiva? That the taiva, the desire, the craving was buried, it was the kivras ha'misavim, the people who were craving were buried, not the craving itself. They, the people, were buried. So he says as follows, in fact, it wasn't only the people who had the cravings were buried, but this entire craving was buried at this point, because anyone who saw the punishment of those who had this craving, it otherwise would have said, kivras hamis avim. This is the kfura of the people who were craving, but everyone else who didn't pass away in this plague, they saw what this craving, this desire, this physical desire can do to you, this taiva, and automatically their own cravings went away. So right there, true that they buried physically the people who had the craving, but also the taiva itself was buried there. And accordingly, it's called, Hamakam is called Kivros HaTaiva. So both were buried there, the physical bodies of those who had the craving, and also that whole concept of taiva for this meat, that's gone. We're not doing that again. Even the survivors, especially the survivors, said, we're not going there. Now we're moving on to vort number four. It is in Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Gimel, and it says as follows, a very famous Pasuk, Vayish Moshe, Anav Me'od Mikol Adam HaShapani Adama, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest, the most modest person who existed on the face of the world. And what's going on here, a little bit of the background. Moshe Rabbeinu was being criticized. By who? By his siblings. Miriam and Aaron were talking about him, and they said Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife. He thinks he's on such a high, elevated level. But truth be told, he is unique, but we're unique also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us as well, and we're not separating from our spouses. And it says there, Vayish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol Adam. But he, says the Pasuk, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was the most humble of people that existed on the face of the world. And the Ksav Sofer tells us, in fact, that there are two types of people who are anavim, people who are modest. The first type are people who are really not internally anavim, modest. They put on an act somewhat. And it's for the outside that they want to show that they have anivus, that they have modesty, and that they're pure and proper people, and not into themselves, very modest people. But truth be told, when people start talking about them, when people start criticizing them and saying, oh, he really is a bald guy, but he's really arrogant, he's not what he really looks like, then the truth comes out. And when he gets attacked like that, he comes out and he's no longer an anav. And we can tell his true colors because he acts like a bal gaiva. You can tell he's not acting modestly as reaction to the criticism that he receives. However, there's type number two. And type number two isn't somebody who's only modest on the outside, but he's modest on the inside as well. And even when people are whispering about him, saying he's a bal gaiva, oh, he has issues, he has a problematic person, he's arrogant, he doesn't change who he is, because that modesty is internal. That's really who he is. And accordingly, we see in this psukim, Batateber Miriam Va'aron B'Moshe, we have Miriam and Aaron talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki Gaivehi Mitzidohi, this is arrogance by Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's separating from his wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gambani Dibira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talked to us also, we're in communication with God also, and we're not separating. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu acting like this? He's a little bit on his high horses a little bit. And nonetheless, the Pasuk says, despite the criticism, despite the claims about him, despite the claims that he's arrogant, that this is a bit of a gaiva by him, anav me'od, Moshe Rabbeinu as anav me'od mikol adam, he was in category number two. He didn't change who he was. This is a sign that despite the criticism, he maintained that anivus, he maintained that modesty 100%, and this true shows that Hanav Me'od Mikol Adam was true. It wasn't only external, it wasn't only the action, the act of separating from his wife, but that's who he was. He really was on a higher level than them. And in fact, if we broaden this just a little bit, we see that this is a time of domestic unrest, of Klal Yisrael, domestic political unrest. We're going to get to the Parsha of Korach. We have Klal Yisrael complaining about food, not taking care of us, etc., etc., etc. And Moshe Rabbeinu, I saw in a sefer that you can imagine that he's being attacked all over. So he's going to Eldad Umeidah. These are Nevi'im, and maybe these are people that can understand what I'm going through. And he goes and he's walking by Eldad Umeidah, Mitaviba Machanem. What are they saying? They're Nevuah. Moshe Meis Yoshua Machnis. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass away. Yeshua is going to be the one that's going to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And he says, oh, here I'm being criticized here as well. I'm hearing negativity about myself as well. It's not only those who want the meat here. So where else to go? I'm going to go to my mishpacha. I'm going to go commiserate with Aaron, with Miriam. And then he sees there too, he's getting criticized. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu separate from his wife? We're also holy people. And despite all of this criticism that he sees seeing from all sides, he maintained who he was. And he was still an anav. Aish Moshe anav me'od mikol adam ha'shapani adama. We see the true colors of Moshe Rabbeinu, the beautiful person he was, not only externally, but internally as well. Now we are moving forward to number five at the end of the parsha. Because of this lashon hara, Miriam had tzaras. She got punished. You'd speak lashon hara, you have tzaras, as is known. And the pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayitzak Moshe Hashem Limor, Kelna Refan Allah. This is the tefillah. We're in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Moshe Rabbeinu cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give her a refuah shalema. Very short tefillah. So Rashi says as follows, why does it say Leimor? Vayitzak Moshe Hashem Leimor. What does that word Leimor mean? It could simply say, Vayitzak Moshe Hashem, Kel Narafan Allah. I'm shouting out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why does that say as follows, Leimor? So Rashi says, what is this Leimor? Ma Leimor? Hashiveni imatav merat ma'osayim av. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please get back to me. Please let me know if you're going to give her a refua shalema or not. So the Siyata Dishmai asks as follows, why did Moshe Rabbeinu need a Kadosh Baruch Hu to get back to him? We know there's a Mishnah in Brachos that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, when he davened for somebody, he would know if his tefillah would be answered or not. And the people around him say, how do you know? After he davened, he'd say, this person, he was davening for somebody who's sick, he'd say, this person is going to have a refuah shlema, my tefillah was accepted, this person, unfortunately, my tefillah was not accepted. So they asked him, what are you, a Navi, that you know if your tefillah was accepted or not? So he responded as follows, I know, because if my tefillah comes out smoothly, if I don't have problems uttering the tefillah, I know that that tefillah will be accepted. But if I'm having a difficult time getting it out, if I'm stuttering, if it's not flowing, I know that this tefillah is not being accepted. The person will not have refuah shalema. So based on that, why? Obviously Moshe Rabbeinu had the same power as Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Moshe Rabbeinu was on a much, much higher level. Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu know if his tefillah was being answered or not based on Kelna Rafan Allah and the tefillah that he was saying? So he should know if it flowed smoothly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said yes. If it doesn't flow smoothly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying no. So Rashi tells us something interesting. This is a very short tefillah. And Rashi actually gives two explanations. So he was concerned. People here are going to be saying, why are you davening so long? If he said a long tefillah, why are you davening so long, Moshe Rabbeinu? She needs help. This is not the time to have an arichus, a lengthy davening. Or Rashi says, davar acher, if he said a long tefillah, he was concerned that people are going to say, why is he spending so much time davening for his sister? He spends all the time on his family members, and he's not davening for us like this. He's playing favorites, nepotism. So because of these concerns, Moshe Rabbeinu said a very short tefillah, Kelna Refan Allah, very short. And accordingly, when you have such a short tefillah, you're not able to measure, did it flow well or not? Because it's easy to get a short tefillah out. So he wasn't able to tell to himself, did it flow smoothly or not? Because it was such a short tefillah. And accordingly, Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, Vayitzak Moshe Hashem Leimor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying a short tefillah, I'm not going to know if you're accepting this or not. So Leimor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let me know if indeed you will be answering the tefillah that I'm saying for my sister Miriam. Thank you so much for listening.